today as we come to the table.
There's all this cheering that they get and exciting things that the world has to offer. Sounds a lot like my gymnasium with Chuck. It was a room where there were a lot of famous singers. They weren't that famous, but to me they were at that time. I was a kid on that stage in the gymnasium. There were famous athletes to me as a kid, hitting the last second shot, winning the tournament, the crowd cheering, everyone going crazy. But here was the problem. It was in a forbidden place I was not supposed to be. Right now, what Satan is tricking you in, some of you in this, is this. Some of you as unbelievers and some of you as believers. He's showing you the famous singers of the world.
This world holds many allures: fame, wealth, power, and pleasure, just to name a few. They all appeal to our God-given senses, and we just want more. But as Pastor Mark will point out in today's message, all of that stuff is fleeting for sure. And no matter how much you get, you'll never find yourself satisfied. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. From a young age, many of us aspire to be great athletes or maybe performers. The brief glimpses we get of those people in those professions just seem surreal. They seem so happy. They've, quote unquote, made it. But if you could see inside their head and heart, well, we'd most likely find something completely different. Because without Christ, they're just as empty as any of us would be. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 8, as he continues his message entitled, Jesus, the Light of the World.
I'm not saying it's wrong to pray with a shawl over your head or anything else. What I'm saying is, it's not through the law. It's through grace. It's through the cross. It's through Jesus. And Jesus draws a very clear line of demarcation right here and says, you know what? That's your law. But my law is the law of grace and the law of justice and the law of liberty. And it comes only through the cross of Jesus Christ. Interesting how he distances himself from that as a temporary, non-satisfying solution. Again, which is a rebuke to those who would try to live that way. The Lord lays it out. And notice he says in verse 18, I am the one who bears witness of myself. And here's your second witness. And the Father who sent me bears witness of me. There's your two witnesses. You see that I say that I'm the Savior of the world where my Father does it. How did his Father bear witness? They couldn't deny the way his Father bore witness. Miracles. Signs, wonders, amazing things that he did. This was something where they realized he's a supernatural man. There's no way he could be a normal man. But notice this, they now use this as an opportunity to jab Jesus and get at him. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you remember, Jesus was believed by the religious leaders to not even have a real dad legitimately in the right way. They believed, yeah, it may have been Joseph, but after all, Mary was pregnant before they were married. And especially in that day, in that culture, he's not even really, you know, legitimate in many ways. And they used this as a way to attack him and to mock him. And now Joseph by now had died. Remember, we don't see Joseph on the scene after Jesus turned 12. Sometime between 12 and Jesus turning 30, Joseph dies. And so now he's not even there as a dad, earthly dad, but Jesus is talking about his heavenly Father, not his earthly, but they didn't understand that. They didn't understand the virgin birth. All of this was foreign to them because they didn't know him. And notice now they use this as a dig. Now, if you didn't know the history, you wouldn't know it was a jab. But look at verse 19. Then they said to him, where is your father? Probably with a smirk on their face. We know you didn't even have a dad. The dad you had, they had relations before they were even married. You know, you're not even legitimate as far as walking in holiness and righteousness and all this. Where's your father? Tell us, you're saying he's your witness. Even he's not even alive anymore, and he wasn't that good of a dad because he didn't wait till marriage. That's really what they're saying. And Jesus comes right back and says, you know neither me nor my father. That is the one in heaven he's speaking of. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. But because you don't know him, in other words, you don't know me. And because you don't know me, you don't know him. The two go together hand in hand. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Again, a further testimony that God was protecting him. He was doing things right in the face of the religious leaders who ran the Temple Mount and the temple police who enforced the Temple Mount, and they couldn't touch him. They couldn't do anything to him. I love this. Listen, God's protection was so on him, the police couldn't arrest him. They had to recognize something's going on. You know, it's interesting, on the Temple Mount today, it's controlled by the Arab countries and still under the control of Jordan. And they have guidelines. You can't take Bibles up there, or at least you're not supposed to. You can't pray up there, at least you're not supposed to. And all these guidelines, and if they catch you with a Bible or catch you praying, they kick you off. And again, probably if you're a tourist or a visitor, they'd still do it, but they wouldn't be as rough. If a Jew did it, probably a riot would break out. Rocks, it'd be a rock concert, right? Because they don't put up with that. The first time I went there, I didn't know that. And I not only took my Bible up there unashamedly. I had, I think maybe in my back pocket, I had a smaller Bible or whatever. I remember walking right up to the other side of where the Dome of the Rock is, over to the area where it's very possible they'll build the next temple. I don't know. We'll see. I took my Bible out, and I'm studying it, going, okay, this happened, that happened. Some guys came. We're sharing the Word of God. We're doing a little Bible study right there next to the Dome of the Rock and all this stuff. And I remember nobody said a word to me, but there was this one guy that was this Middle Eastern guy that kept pacing back and forth over there watching me, like, what's this guy doing? What's this? And I thought, well, this guy's agitated for some reason. What's his problem? Never seen a Bible. You know, I don't know what he's thinking. But I'm like about to start World War III. You know, Knoxville pastor starts war. I don't know. I'm up there reading my Bible. I didn't know the rules, right? But for whatever the reason, nothing happened. I'm not going to say God protected me like he did Jesus. I'm not going to put myself in that category. But Jesus was supernaturally and divinely protected. They couldn't do anything to him. And so this was a further testimony that he was indeed God's servant and under the protection of the Lord. His hour had not yet come yet. Notice verse 21, then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. That means be eternally condemned, and the Jews knew that. This is big for them. I'll explain why in a second. Not just for pride, but for other reasons. And he says, where I go, you cannot come. They taught in that day that every Jew goes to heaven. If you're Jewish, I don't care how you live. You're getting in. As a matter of fact, they taught that Abraham stood there at the gates of hell and would block anybody from going. He would make sure nobody could go to the gates of hell. And if you were Jewish, you had to go into heaven. So this was for him to say, you will die in your sins. They're like, what are you talking about? You're saying that Jews, that not all Jews go to heaven? That's exactly what he was saying. I don't care who your father is, earthly father. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how many things you wrap around your wrist or put on your forehead and bow at some wall. You're not going to heaven unless you receive Jesus Christ. He was basically laying down the law. Interestingly enough, although not by the law they could get there. But he says, you know, you can't come where I'm coming. Notice this, where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said to him, said rather among themselves, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. Now, that's an odd statement. Why would they say that? Because the Jews believed there was one way a Jew could go to hell. Only one way. Suicide. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that suicide condemns anyone. You need to know that. The Bible nowhere teaches that suicide is a damning sin. But the Jews believed that. And because they believed that, what they thought he was saying was he's going to kill himself. What's he going to kill himself? What does he mean we can't go where he's going? Because they believed that a Jew that killed themselves would go to eternal hell. And so they're now basically saying, so what you're saying is, Jesus, is you're going to go to hell? Because they certainly didn't believe they were going to. What a bold, bold statement. They were saying, you know, that Jesus is saying here, or saying to Jesus that they think that he might go to hell by saying he might kill himself. Where I go, you cannot come. By the way, this is interesting. It brings up a point here as well. There's a teaching out there that I recently kind of cropped back up in a conversation called universalism, where some people believe that everyone will eventually get into heaven. Doesn't matter how bad you've been, Hitler, Stalin, they're all going to be there. Charles Manson, everybody's going to be there. But they have to go through a period of suffering, and then they'll get in. Not according to Jesus. He said, where I'm going, which is the kingdom of God, you can never come. You can't come. The Bible speaks of eternal separation from God, eternal judgment. And you know what the word eternal means in the language? eternal. You can't make it mean anything else. It doesn't mean temporary. It means eternal, non-ending, no stop. So the Lord says to them, you can't come. Verse 23, and he said to them, now he really lays it out. He says, you're from beneath. Wow. You're from beneath. Again, which could be taken of just the earth, which probably is, but that's where they were headed, even further beneath. He says, I'm from above. In other words, I'm from heaven. You're of this world. I am not of this world. So Jesus, you know, basically, hey, I'm out of this world, and you're not, you know? And again, the Lord hitting them pretty hard here because of their arrogance. You know, he's like laying it out there saying, look, you're an earth dweller. I'm a kingdom dweller. You think you're so holy. You think you're righteous. You're not. And although I believe the majority of the time we're to present ourselves in a very gentle and tactful way to people, there's a time when a firm rebuke is necessary. And I've had God move in my heart to do a few of those over the years. Probably sometimes it's been me, but I know sometimes it's been the Lord. Because some people, the only way they will hear is a sharp rebuke. Jesus gives them now this sharp rebuke and saying, you know what? You're not even, you think you're of heaven. You're not. You're from this world. You're beneath heaven. You're not even going to get there. Then they said to him, who are you? And later on, we're going to see, they're going to say, who do you think you are? In essence, they're who do you think you are? You're making all these righteous statements. You're so holy. You're the light. You're Father. You're this. Who do you think you are? Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. It's like, I haven't hidden any of this. I've been very clear as to who I am from the very beginning, but you don't have ears to hear. You know, Jesus is the same way today. If you have ears to hear, it's very easy to hear who Jesus is, but if you don't, you don't get it. I remember before I knew the Lord, people would say, Jesus said he was God all over the place. And I remember that he never said he was God. Jesus never said he was God, right? You ever hear unbelievers say that? Jesus never said he was God. You get saved, and it's like all over the place. Jesus said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. What's one of the names of God? I am. You know, I'm the light of the world. What is the source of light? God. I mean, it's all over the place. It was the first verse, chapter 1 of John, we talked about, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Bible screams that Jesus is God from beginning to end. But as an unbeliever, you don't have the light to see that. You can't recognize it. You don't know it. And so he says, I've been saying this to you guys very plainly, very openly, but you don't have ears to hear because you can't see the light that's before you. He says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. Yeah, some of them are not going to be so good. But he who sent me, that is the Father, is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying what the Father told me to say. I'm his ambassador. Then they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Now, your Bible might say I am he, but the he part's not there. That's written in by the editors. But literally what it says in the language is, then you will know that I am. Guess what every Jew knew I am was? God. You're going to know that I'm God when I lift it up. Why? When you see me on that cross, you're going to recognize I'm not doing this for me. I didn't come here to win some religious argument. I didn't come to show that my form of belief system is superior to yours. This isn't some fleshly game. This is eternity and people's souls forever. And I've come to live and die so everybody can come to heaven with me. And when you see me nailed to that cross and lifted up on that cross, you're going to realize there's no way this guy did this. Unless there's something going on that he meant to do and there's something more powerful behind this, because before he goes to the cross, they're going to recognize he's very much in control of the cross. We've talked about it. He had many opportunities to stop it and he didn't. He actually came for that purpose. They're going to see that before it's all said and done. He says, you'll know that I am and that I do nothing of myself, but my Father, as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. So you're going to recognize me once you see what I really do for the Father and what the Father has sent me to do. He says, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Now, a couple things to note here. There is going to be a time the Father is going to leave him alone, and that's on the cross when he has to pour the sins of the world on him. But before that, he's not. But notice also, I love this, for I always do those things that please him. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say that? If I make the statement, it has to be this, for I sometimes do those things that please him. For I, on occasion, do those things that please him. I wish I could say, for I always. I know this, I want to always do those things that please him, but I don't. Because we can't. We're not in that place yet. Jesus could. Why? Who else but God could say that? Again, he's making it very clear who he is. And by the time we get to the end of chapter 8, which we're not going to get to today, but by the time we get there, he's going to just flat out tell them that he's God in a very clear and dramatic way that all the Jews understood. And we're going to see again, they try to kill him because they realize what he's saying and why he's saying it. And notice he says here in verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now, this is really cool because I think that many of those that were not priests believed in him at this time. But you know what? There probably were some priests that believed in him in their heart at this time. We don't know when they did, but here's what's really cool. The Bible tells us after he died on the cross, many of the priests came to the faith. They believed in Christ. And why do I say that probably some of them began to believe in their heart at this very moment? Because he said, when you see me lifted up, which means when you see me on that cross, you're going to recognize that I'm God in human form, and you're going to believe in me. And so now their hearts are pierced. And they're beginning to see, you know what? You are the light of the world. There's power in your words. There's authority in the words that you speak, the testimony of your miracles. And many believe in him. The question is, do you believe in him? I know that many of you do, but there may be some of you in here that don't. And unless you believe he died for you on the cross, unless you believe that he paid for your sins, and unless you confess your sins, you have to go to the Lord and say, forgive me of my sins, I'm guilty. You've got to humble yourself. Unless you do that and believe that he died for you, the Bible says you can't get into the kingdom. Well, I may do that one day, but the world seems so exciting right now. I mean, it's such a big world out there. There's all these famous singers, and there's these famous athletes, and there's all this cheering that they get and exciting things that the world has to offer. Sounds a lot like my gymnasium with Chuck. It was a room where there were a lot of famous singers. They weren't that famous, but to me they were at that time. I was a kid on that stage in the gymnasium. There were famous athletes to me as a kid, hitting the last second shot, winning the tournament, the crowd cheering, everyone going crazy. But here was the problem. It was in a forbidden place I was not supposed to be. Right now what Satan is tricking you, in, some of you in this, is this. Some of you as unbelievers and some of you as believers. He's showing you the famous singers of the world. Wish I could be on The Voice. He's showing you the famous athletes. I want to be the guy doing the fade away from the far corner when the buzzer goes off. And rah! I want to be the one that everyone cheers for and says, this guy is great. Did you see what he did? The world has so much to offer. Then I can have the nice cars and the nice houses and the handsome husband and the beautiful wife. All the things I ever wanted I can have. The problem is it's in a forbidden place that is very dark. And when you run around excited in that forbidden place that's very dark, because all you can see is all the excitement that happens in that forbidden place of darkness, with all the famous singers and the famous athletes and the famous this and that, you're eventually going to run into a brick wall because you can't see where you're going. And you're going to find yourself flat on the back, moaning, saying, how did I get here? How did I get in this position where I've almost killed myself? I've almost taken a mortal blow to the head. It seems so exciting. Everyone cheers in this place. There seems to be such importance here. And yet you're running in the darkness. Guys, we have to run to the light. Stars of today, it's interesting. I remember seeing an interview a while back with Tom Brady. Here, I don't know, how many rings does he have? How many, you know, Super Bowls? Some of you can tell me right off the bat because you love him or whatever, right? Five. He said, I'm empty. I'm empty. He says, something's missing. I'm not happy. Come on, Tom, you got five Super Bowls? You're married to a supermodel? You have all the cars and things you could ever want? You're empty, really? How many stars have you heard say that? How many people have you seen, like the Michael Jacksons of the world, who ruin their lives through drugs and alcohol because they're empty? They're trying to fill some. Look, I don't know whether or not Tom Brady will get saved. I don't know if Michael Jackson did before he died. That's not my point. Here's my point. They're running around in a dark room with a lot of promise of excitement and famous things. But it's a dark room where they can't see where they're going, and they're running into walls and hurting themselves. And if they don't get out of there, they're going to die forever. It's a lot like the fireworks show. You know, we just had the 4th of July. And the stars of today, you know what they're like? It's like a firework. You know, whoa, boom, 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 wow. And then as quickly as it went off, what happens? It goes dark. These little ashes. And then the new guy comes along 10 or 15 years later. Then the new singer shows up. Nobody's ever sung like, oh. And then the show goes out again. Guys, if that's all this world is, how sad. A moment where even if we did have the talent to explode and make everybody excited and then we die forever, eternally separated from God. How sad. How empty. Nobody's going to remember that in the kingdom of God. They're only going to remember whether or not you've given your life to the Lord. Where are you going to live eternally? And I find it interesting when you look at Revelation and it talks about heaven. The Bible says in Scripture that you guys, as believers, you're going to shine like the stars of heaven eternally. Think about that. In other words, on the earth, when you're famous, wow, then it goes out. You guys are going to go, when you leave this body, and you're going to shine. And your fire will never go out. You'll never explode. You'll live forever shining like the stars of heaven. That's exciting to me because the Bible says when God makes the new earth and the new heaven, the new Jerusalem is going to float over this earth and it's going to be see-through. It says the streets will be gold, but they'll be clear gold. Now, we've never seen that kind of gold. What's it going to look like? I don't know. You'll be able to see it, but it's see-through. And then it talks about all the different colored emeralds and jewels and all things that are around the foundation of the new Jerusalem floating over the earth. And the Lord's throne will be there. Imagine his light, the light of the world, shining through all those beautiful colors and shining through those clear streets. And God sends you on an errand down to the earth to pick up some milk and come back or whatever. And you see the glory of the Lord and the splendor shining through that. You're in the new kingdom and you see that splendor. And then here's really what's cool. Because you guys are these lights that shine forever like the stars, you're like lightning bugs. And back and forth between the new Jerusalem and the earth, there's going to be all these lightning bugs. All you guys will be shining, going back and forth on whatever mission the Lord sends you, and you'll be shining. And it'll be so cool because you'll be on the earth. I'll be watching you guys. You're going to go up. You're going to go through the doors there in the gates of the kingdom. If I'm down on the earth for some errand for the Lord or however that's going to work, I don't know. And also I'm going to see you. And as you go in, your light's going to be followable because the walls are clear and the road's clear. And there's going to be your brilliance going down the hallways and all your light shining through those emeralds and all the other lights and just going in and out of heaven and all that's happening. That's going to be you. It's a light that'll never go out. Which do you want? If you could have your wish right now, I want to be like famous and a millionaire right now, and I'm speaking to me, stay goofy and never really be much of, that great in the world's eyes, but have eternal light shining in heaven, which would I choose? I'm choosing heaven, guys. I'm choosing heaven. If I had some talent and ability that could astound you today, maybe this or something, that made me famous, Who cares? Who really cares? I want to shine like the stars of heaven with you guys forever. With Jesus in the kingdom of God. Rejoicing in his light. Seeing his glory. The Bible says he'll be showing us new things on a regular basis throughout eternity. Think about that for a minute. How many of you guys like new things? I like new things. Whoa, where'd you get that? Whoa, how did you do that? Wow, have you seen this? Eternally. It's going to be glory that we can't imagine. He's going to show us new world. We're going, whoa. He could never outdo this. He could never outdo. Whoa. Well, this is really it. There's no way it can get better. You got to be kidding me. That's your future if you know Christ. He makes you that offer today. What are you going to do with it? You're going to continue running around in a room that promises a lot of flashy things and important stuff that's really dark? So that you can be famous to people down here and end up banging your head with somebody else and get hurt? Or are you going to say, you know what? Let the world have it. I want Jesus. I choose Jesus. I've got him forever. My flame will never go out if I walk with him. This is eternal. You have to confess your sins and run to the cross.
While we're wrapping up our time at the table of God's Word for today, your time in the Bible doesn't have to. In fact, we'd like to encourage you to keep reading. There's so much to learn about Jesus and his love for you and for the world. If you missed any part of this broadcast, or if you want to hear it again, you can by visiting PastorMarkKirk.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, too. That way, you'll never miss an episode. You can also join us on Facebook to get the latest information on that day's broadcast, along with some inspiration and encouragement for your news feed. There's a link for that, too, at PastorMarkKirk.com. Now, before we close, let's hand it back over to Pastor Mark one more time.
I'm glad you took the time to join me today to study the Gospel of John. It's such an incredible testimony of Jesus' ministry here on earth. I hope you've been blessed, and I know I've been blessed teaching it. I'd like to ask you a favor as well. Would you commit to praying during this study through John? Please pray that the Holy Spirit would lead people to this program so that they can find hope in Jesus. And pray that they'd have open ears and soft hearts. I know the message of Jesus can transform lives and heal brokenness, but not if they never hear it. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. And thanks for joining me today and every day that we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.